Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! No! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Austin just gets stuck in the stunner!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. And this is a official version of the WWE Podcast. It has been quite some time. Back on my normal microphone. In my normal spot, on my normal timetable. How about that? I mean, I've been recording some snippets here and there and trying to get some things in before work. It's just been crazy. And I'm trying to get you guys my thoughts. Also on Twitter, at the WWE Podcast, by the way. If you haven't followed me yet, please do so. And I'm getting some feedback on my last podcast about my passionate rant regarding Stephanie McMahon and her impact on the WWE in general and this whole women's revolution thing. And my language was what it was. I don't apologize for it. I felt it. Yes, you can say I am passionate about something that doesn't really even exist or is a fake wrestling environment. You know what? I don't care. That is how I feel. I am not apologizing for anything that I've said. I don't think anything I said was offensive anyway. But I do give you a word of caution. If those of you who listen to my show with young children or people who may be offended by the occasional F-bomb, I would just be careful of my last show. It was heated. And it was real and emotional and exactly how I felt about WWE, and particular Stephanie McMahon's position of her whole brand image of the women and how she is trying to be the trailblazer for the women's revolution. And I think it's total BS. If you guys listen to me, I'll just sum it up on that. And I think her trying to make herself or WWE, whoever is in charge of this, namely Stephanie McMahon, probably calling the shots for the most part. Obviously, Vince weighing in and Triple H weighing in, and the rest of the creative team just nodding along going, yes, Stephanie. But clearly trying to make herself the trailblazer and the figurehead of this women's movement, which is a bunch of garbage. And that's putting it nicely for the women's revolution, which she had nothing to do with, nothing other than her being a woman herself, and that she's the chief brand operating officer of making sure that everybody in the world knows that the WWE is just this. It is in lockstep with the hot button issues of women's rights and women's walks and women's revolutions and whatever the hell that WWE wants to make sure that everybody knows that they are and are sensitive to, and that look, we're ahead of the curve and we know what is the hot button issue right now, and look at us. And that's what Stephanie McMahon is trying to portray in the women's revolution. And I don't know why it angers me so much. I am proud, and I think that the women of WWE have done an amazing job. I'm not trying to take away from that. There's no question that the women's revolution, women's movement, I don't care what the hell you brand it, has clearly taken major steps forward since the Divas Championship was retired a few years ago and became the Women's Championship. And the women have proven night in and night out, and WWE has put the women, sometimes forcefully, trying to make them the main event, even though they're not quite at that level. They just put them there anyway to say, look, women are main eventing. Well, you are forcing them to main event, but have they really earned that spot? You know, at times, there have been times where I don't believe that the women's match should have gone on last on the show just to say, look, women are, oh, look, they're main eventing Raw. Look, oh, now they're main eventing a pay-per-view. Look, now they're the first ever this, the first ever that, the first women in the bank, first women's Hell in a Cell match, the first Money in the Bank ladder match, the first Royal Rumble. And obviously the ultimate goal is the women main eventing WrestleMania. Well, here's the thing, guys. To me, I am not against women's movement. I think that the women's division has really, I think, in the men's eyes, it is taken away from the men's storylines. And I think that's great. I think it's well-deserved. It's just at times I think WWE has tried to force it to happen instead of organically letting it happen. And I tweeted this out earlier too, and I'm going to get to Monday Night Raw in just a moment. I'm going to review some things and not go in great detail, but just hit on some points that I think are worth talking about. And that is that WWE is so concerned with making moments and making history. Well, here's just something, it's a little bit of food for thought, and this is pretty much what I tweeted out earlier today. By the way, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Here's how you make a moment, a real moment, an organic moment, a long-lasting moment. You don't talk about it being a moment. It's like a nickname. When WWE is trying to force a nickname of the Big Dog, how many times am I going to hear the Big Dog, the Big Dog, the Big Dog? He's not the Big Dog. And the more I hear it, the more I reject it. And I'm tired of hearing them force a Big Dog nickname. Everybody's got to have a nickname. The Rock Star. How many times are we going to hear the Rock Star regarding Shinsuke Nakamura? Or the Artist? How many times do we need to hear nicknames? I don't know the fascination with it. I don't know. It's some kind of marketing thing. And that's, I understand it. But at times, you just have to let things be. And let the names and the catchphrases and the chants happen naturally. And, you know, as back to my point, that when WWE is constantly, and making it a headline, a statement, constantly stating that the women are going to make history. Is this the first ever women's Royal Rumble? This is the first ever women's Royal Rumble. It's the first. It's every time they mention it ever. I know that it's historic. You could have mentioned it once. I know it's historic. I know they're trying to make headlines, but it takes away from the actual match itself or position on the show itself when you constantly try to tell me that it's historic, it's the first ever, it's the inaugural, it's the first, oh my God, look how historic this is, and we're making history, oh my God. And the worst part about it is, and I'm going to get to the good side of this, don't worry guys, this is not me ranting, this is just, I think I am so anti, I'm such a anti-corporate WWE fanatic. And I think that's the best way for me to put it. They have corporatized. I don't know. Maybe that's not a word, but it is now. They have corporatized WWE so much to the point that they are cannibalizing their own matches. And I know that I don't think they care, just for the marketing and the headlines of making sure everybody knows this is going to be historic. It's historic. Is it historic? It's historic. We're going to make history. And my point is that the competitors, not just the announcers, but the competitors, not the performers. I don't need to hear about a performance, okay? This is not a magic show, all right? That's what a performance is a magic show. The competitors in the match are talking about making history. And not making history about winning. Making history about just being involved in the match. Well, wait a minute. Why are you here? The believability factor is completely out the window with WWE. It's almost as if that doesn't even matter anymore. Everyone's just here for a show and moments and putting smiles on people's faces. It is such it's a family corporate product that is so sensitive to all of the social issues that it makes me want to vomit. And I don't apologize for that at all. They are so pat me on the back. Look at what we're doing. Oh my God. Make sure there's a camera here when we're hugging these sick kids. Make sure there's a camera here when we're visiting vets in the hospital. Make sure there's a camera here when we are at a Be a Star campaign pep rally. And all of that's great, folks. And I've said this, all of it is awesome. But it, what makes it more awesome is when you don't do it for the camera, because it comes across that you're doing it for the camera. And they have sponsors to make happy. They have all these stakeholders to make happy. And they're trying to change the image and brand of WWE and what people think about WWE. When they hear WWE, they went from chair shots and blood and guts and sex and violence to smiles and cheering and happiness and women's movements and civil rights and ethnicity and diversity. And look at us. It makes me sick and angry. Not that I have anything against it, but this is the one place you can go where it's a fantasy environment, or used to be able to go, that it's a fantasy environment where you could, anything could happen. Instead, it feels so structured, and everything has to have a label and a brand and a nickname and transparently for the camera. And Stephanie has to make sure that on TV, even though she's a villain most times, that she never gets looks like a fool on TV anymore. And she just plays a bad guy on TV and puts it in her Twitter profile. And look at all the great things we do. I mean, my God, folks, look at her Twitter account. It's all about the Today Show. It's all about Jimmy Fallon. It's all about what charity are we at next. It's all about, look at this. Look where we are. Look where we are. Isn't this a great cause? Suddenly there's this charitable organization that doesn't even, or at least from a outward perspective, with if you're on the outside looking in and you only looked at Stephanie McMahon's social media, would have no idea that she is the actual co-owner, for all intents and purposes, of the WWE, of World Wrestling Entertainment, folks. You would have no idea that she is an actual owner of that organization. So that is in a much, and boy, let me tell you, this is a much more toned down version of what I said in terms of language, in terms of volume, and in terms of content, compared to my previous podcast. So if you want a little bit more of that and not a toned down, more mature version, then I would suggest you go listen to my previous show. Okay, guys. So other than that, let's move on to some much better stuff. And again, this is not me ever stopping to watch the WWE. I will watch the WWE until I'm on my deathbed and I am laying there taking my last breath. I will be a WWE fan. I am just so passionate because I just know what I used to love, what I thought made it great. I think what made it work and what drew me to the product was the believability, was the freedom of the performers. Oh God, I just said a corporate buzzword. Of the wrestlers to go out there and be themselves, who they are, who they think they are, go out on a limb. But the WWE does not allow the talent to go out there, or if they do, my God, they are putting their balls on the line and their livelihood on the line by taking a chance. So they are so structured and handcuffed, and it's so sensitized now, and it's so soft. It's a soft WWE, and not just because it's PG. That's just one element, although I don't think that's a bad thing. You can have an awesome product that's PG. It's the extracurricular stuff that happens behind the scenes, not just with Stephanie. It doesn't end with Stephanie. I think her vibe is woven through the fabric of all of WWE. What I mean by that is you have all the performers, all the wrestlers, even on their social media, which to me is killing the product, out there who are, they're fighting in the ring, but my God, they are taking, look, they look like the best of friends outside of the ring. They're smiling, they're hugging, they're doing this and that. There's no protection of character. You have Finn Balor, who looks like a school kid on his first day of kindergarten, smiling like a child in every single picture. Now he's doing it on camera. He's losing his mystique. Yes, the Balor Club is together, but he is losing that edge, that believability. And I want to believe, folks. What makes you incorporated and involved and invested in a story is believability, is getting in. How do you get involved and invested in a story? By characters that are believable, by stories that are believable. Even if you know when you watch a movie, you know right up front that what you're watching did not really happen in most cases. It could be based on a true story, whatnot, but in 99% of the cases, it is not actual footage of what happened, and in most cases, it is based on nothing other than somebody's imagination. But guess what? Movies are still pretty damn successful. So I think that is what WWE is lacking. But all right, let's moving on. Some of the good stuff, guys. Ronda Rousey, obviously debuting at the Royal Rumble. I'm fine with it. I don't think she needed to debut in the Rumble. I really don't. I think Trish was a fine number 30. It was awesome to see all of the past and present and future stars inside the ring for the Women's Royal Rumble. Hats off to all ladies. And this is not me against the women's movement. I think they all did an amazing job. I think that the women, there is no better time. There has been no better time, I think, in women's wrestling history. And I'm confident when I say that. To be a wrestling fan as a woman or to get into the business as a woman than right now in 2018. It is an amazing time to be a wrestling fan in terms of the women's division. Hats off to all ladies, past, present, and future that were involved in that. Some cool moments with Trish and Lita, obviously. I wish, maybe I'm nitpicking, but Lita and Trish, I wish had a little bit of an interaction, but they separated those two entrants out. But I'm fine with it. It's not about those two. It's about the future. And obviously, Ronda Rousey not debuting in the Royal Rumble made total sense to me. Having her debut after, I was fine with it. I think the crowd was a little bit spent. And I know I mentioned to you guys earlier, too, that the Philadelphia crowd was very subdued. I will say that in general. And so I think Ronda debuting and her coming out and paying homage to Rowdy Roddy Piper, I'm split because we all know she's a fan of Rowdy Roddy Piper. We get it. She said it. Even in UFC, when she was competing in UFC, she mentioned several times that she was a UFC or a Rowdy Roddy Piper fan, and that she was growing up and she was her inspiration. He was her inspiration and so forth. But when you commit to WWE, and she has said that, quote, this is her life now. So she's going all in, and I fully expect that from somebody of her mindset with UFC. I mean, that's a hell of a commitment in and of itself. And you have her coming into WWE, she's going to go all in. She's not going to phone it in. She is going to make this her life, just as she has with UFC. I really believe she's going to make the absolute most of this, and I'm looking forward to it. But the issue that I have, and the only issue I have right now with Ronda, obviously a very limited exposure to WWE TV, is she needs her own identity. I don't want to see her living off of the Roddy Piper character. She can pay homage here and there, but I don't want to see her coming out with a Rowdy Roddy Rousey shirt, although clearly that's the direction they're going. They made a few thousand shirts of those. She's coming out in a leather jacket. I'm not a fan. Maybe she can change my mind, but to me, it's gimmick infringement. There's one and only one Rowdy Roddy Piper, and that's Rowdy Roddy Piper. Ronda needs her own identity. I think she will miss the boat if she leans too heavily on his gimmick. And so that's the only nitpick I have on top of her smiling way too much. What made her imposing and what made her a star at WrestleMania 31? Well, number one, she was still competing and still undefeated before Holly Holm completely sidetracked her career. Is she didn't smile. She looked the part, was the part, was a legit badass. And she comes out smiling. I hope WWE does not put the corporate stamp on her. I hope they make her feel special. She could be the equivalent Brock Lesnar of the female division. She doesn't need to be doing house shows. She could come out there and make it feel special when she competes. And I hope that's what they do. Maybe she competes against Asuka. Maybe she's in a mixed tag of some sort. Maybe she's one-on-one with Charlotte. Maybe one-on-one with Alexa. Probably the least likely out of all the recommendations or suggestions or possibilities. She just needs her own identity, and I hope that WWE recognizes this off the bat. But I'm looking forward to it, as many of us are. I think this adds legitimacy. It's just another layer to the already growing legitimacy and talent depth that is the WWE Women's Division right now. So let's get into a little bit of Monday Night Raw. And overall, I enjoyed the show. I think that the highlight or highlights were Finn Balor, who ended up losing clean to John Cena and making his entry into the Elimination Chamber coming up in a few weeks, and Braun Strowman tipping the entire announce stage on top of Kane, and Kane ended up going to a local medical facility, and hilariously, they described Kane sitting up in the hospital and ended up leaving the hospital of his own accord. So that was a pretty funny way to wrap up that story. As typically, you hear about the worked injuries that they try to sell you that the competitor has suffered, and in this case, they had Kane. They had told you that Kane sat up in the hospital bed, which was a pretty funny visual to describe to fans. So I enjoyed that very much. And outside of that, guys, I gotta say that the Asuka Sasha Banks match was, I hate to kind of echo the overused "this is awesome" chant, but that match was awesome. Physical, one of the most physical women's matches I've ever seen to date, and I really do mean that. Oh, by the way, having the coach on commentary, thank you God, is all I'll say about that. Booker, I love you, but not on commentary. You belong either inside the ring or on the pre-shows for pay-per-views, and that's all I have to say for you, Book. It was a nice little ride. Entertaining at a few times, you know, a few moments were entertaining for Booker, but most of the time he was just a distraction, and I'm sorry, took away from the commentary and the product inside the ring. Now, can you dig that, sucker? So I really enjoyed the coach. I think he was subdued on his return. Understandably, I know that he has been away from WWE for a number of years, 5, 6, 7 years now, since he was, maybe even longer, since he was a commentator or even an interviewer backstage for WWE, and having him back was nice. And as I said, he was a bit subdued, but I think he's getting his feet wet, getting his legs back under him, and just contributing, I think smartly contributing, not contributing and just say things to say things. And so smart on the coach's part, and I really enjoyed him back. But, you know, as I said, with Asuka and Sasha Banks, awesome, awesome match. Really enjoyed it. I thought that was, and I was getting into it, and I haven't been into a women's match, and really what's at stake is just the fact that it's Asuka's winning streak. So to me, that was a match that pulled me in unexpectedly, and a match that was physical. Obviously, that spill that Sasha took outside the ring looked brutal. I was waiting for the ref to throw up the X. And you could see Sasha say, "I'm okay," to the referee. It looked brutal. Some of the shots that Asuka gave Sasha during the match looked, oh man, rough, but I loved it. The finish was great, keeping Asuka undefeated. Obviously, you knew the outcome, but WWE did a great job in that match of placing doubt in your mind. And so hats off to all involved, the agents, and the competitors themselves. Loved it. Now, you know, we had the, as I said, John Cena and Finn Balor match, and I enjoyed that for the most part. And Cena going over clean makes me, I was actually expecting, as John Cena was hitting that second rope AA on Finn, for the lights to go out and the bells to toll. Not for Undertaker to come out, but just enough for it to distract John for Finn to pick up the win. And it didn't happen. But I think, come Elimination Chamber, this could be the time, the match, that for 5+ years we have all been expecting, and that is John Cena versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And I think this is going to be, and I will say this definitively this year, this is going to be The Undertaker's final match. I think WWE will bill it as such, and I'm going to say that, state it, and I know that's really not going out on a limb that far, and people have been predicting The Undertaker's retirement for 10+ years, but I think that this year could and should be it. The place where The Undertaker had his streak broken in New Orleans against John Cena this year, I think there's no better way to go out, and this is the do or die for John Cena versus The Undertaker year. Neither man is involved in any rivalry of any significance, any program of any significance. They're just kind of floating along, and I think this is the time to do it. Both are free to do it. Undertaker is likely in decent shape enough with a competitor like John Cena to keep him safe and to at least have a respectable match. And I think that's the way they go. It's now or never in my estimation. And so on to the I guess, not so good things about Raw. Bray Wyatt's laugh. How many years? It's been years. How many years do we need to see Bray Wyatt laugh on screen, laugh, maybe some mumbo jumbo laugh, backstage with the light bulb laugh, and laugh, and laugh, like it's supposed to be some evil, maniacal, twisted laugh. Oh, but by the way, he's going to lose the match, and then laugh, and then tell me he's the eater of worlds, and he's going to consume your soul, and then laugh, and then lose, and then laugh, and lose, and lose, and lose, but he'll probably laugh after that, too. Bray Wyatt, and this is, again, not on the shoulders, for the most part, of Bray Wyatt, the man. I think this is WWE not knowing what to do with him. Bray has been spinning his wheels for a long time now. In and out of the Wyatt family. Constantly a heel. Never turned babyface, so maybe that would be the key, at least a start somewhere, turning him babyface. He beat Matt Hardy, but who cares? Honestly, it's sad, but who cares? And that rivalry has gone nowhere other than Bray laughing at Matt Hardy. Okay, moving along. So they need to do something with Bray Wyatt. Bray has really just kind of fallen off the bandwagon from a really cool, intriguing, new, hot act to, it's just, you see him and almost you just want to, you almost get the urge to turn the channel now. It's sad. It's really sad. And creative needs to find something to do with this man. They really do. The Miz losing or beating Roman Reigns. Did anybody expect anything different? I mean, Roman Reigns is on a collision course with Brock Lesnar. For him to get the Intercontinental Championship back, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. So you're going to have just The Miz and Roman Reigns finish this rivalry, have Roman get his rematch because you got to have the rematch, otherwise the rivalry is not complete. Roman has the rematch, he loses. Both parties move on officially after this week. So Roman on a collision course with Brock Lesnar, likely inserting himself. Well, he is inserting himself into the Elimination Chamber, I can guarantee you that. And winning the Elimination Chamber, moving on to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 34, as we all predicted a year ago. So, and again, Roman continues to have good matches. The You Can't Wrestle chance, I mean, it's just not true. I'm not a Roman Reigns fan. I will still boo him until I am blue in the face. But as I said, it's going to be a real test for WWE, who thinks they've made all this progress by having him in the Shield. Although, as I mentioned in a few shows ago, it's not really the Shield. This has been a really messy Shield reunion. I think not one that WWE envisioned, but them trying to put in the fans' mind, well, it's the Shield. So if you see Roman in the Shield, you like the Shield, you have to like Roman. This has been a very sloppy, kind of an ineffective Shield reunion over the past number of months since they, quote, reunited. And then Dean gets hurt, and they all really aren't fighting with each other. They're just fighting separate rivalries, but are aligned. It's just bizarre. And Roman clearly is going to be, his character is going to be put to the test with all this progress WWE thinks they've made with him being hidden in the Shield and under the Shield umbrella that everybody loves the Shield, and Roman's a part of the Shield. So we're going to see what WWE has really done here once he goes completely solo and faces Brock Lesnar over in WrestleMania 34. But I will say this too, that Brock Lesnar has lost a lot of steam. He is not the Brock Lesnar of WrestleMania 31, where it's this mystique and this real big badass. It is a very cooled off, kind of repetitive, stale Brock Lesnar. He needs a little bit of juice himself. So it's an interesting dynamic going into WrestleMania 34 this year. No question about it. And by the way, the XFL, I don't really know what to make of it yet. I think that this has been a stale taste in Vince McMahon's mouth. for a long, long time since his failed attempt a number of years ago, almost 20 years ago. And him resurrecting the XFL in 2020 is going to be who can possibly say fail or succeed? I mean, I think they are doing their homework this time. They are very cognizant of the concussion protocol. They're saying, well, listen to what you want. Well, I mean, duh. That's what any successful business would do, listen to the consumer. And again, they're capitalizing, too, on a time where the NFL is down. Ratings are down. The image of the NFL has taken a hit with not just the concussion issues, but with the scandals going on and the suspensions going on and the conduct in games going on and the penalties, everything. It is a good time, and strike while the iron's hot. So I wish the XFL all the success in the world. Anybody who has called the XFL of 2020 a success or failure is lying through their teeth. How could you possibly know, just based on the 20 years ago XFL, that this version 2.0 is going to fail? You don't. I think it's a wait-and-see approach. There's a lot of moving parts with the XFL. Talent. How are they? What are they doing this in stadiums, arenas, backyards? I mean, how are they doing this? What TV deals do they have? What talent are they bringing in? The commentary teams. I mean, there's a lot to the rules. What I mean, are they going to do a 16-game season? Are they have playoffs? How are they doing this? So much to think about, so much to consider that anybody predicting doom or gloom or glory days for the XFL simply doesn't know what they're talking about. You can speculate and speculate and speculate, and it makes good radio, but in the end, nobody really knows. So I wish it just all the success. So that's really all I got to say for right now, guys. Thank you for joining me. This has been a pleasure coming back and returning and talking to everybody on a real microphone, on a real computer, and getting back on my feet. And hopefully I will continue this as we move forward. If not, I still have my handy-dandy iPhone that I can do my updates before work. As I said, my work hours changed a number of months ago, which is why everything went off the rails. And it's been hard to have a real set schedule and set time to do my show, but I'm going to try to get back on the bandwagon here, and it's been a pleasure, guys. So, again, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts under the WWE Podcast, and follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast as well. I really enjoy a conversation with you guys about WWE or whatever the hell else you want to talk about. So, until then, guys, take care. I'll talk to you next time.